Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our theme is, our great high priest has ascended. And we're going to have two thoughts. He has ascended, first of all, in order that we might hold fast our profession. So this admonition of the apostle, let us hold fast our profession, is going to, we will see, be possible only because we have an interceding high priest who makes intercession for us, who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And secondly, we're going to see our great high priest has ascended in order that we may come boldly to the throne of grace. We would not have access to a throne room of God outside of this ascended Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, whoever lives to make intercession for transgressors. And it's a throne of grace and mercy. Well, first of all, dear congregation, we have to look at this verse that the disciple here, the apostle, is setting before us. And what does he mean when he says to the Hebrews and to us, let us hold fast our profession? Well, as you well may know, the book of Hebrews was written to a group of Christians who were being persecuted, Jewish Christians, formerly Jewish Christians. They had left their Jewish religion behind. All the ceremonies, all the going to the temple to worship, bringing their sacrifices, seeing the high priest, and all these ceremonial laws taking place, they had left that all behind for the gospel. For their understanding and having been taught in the Word of God that Christ is the one who has come to satisfy all those Old Testament ceremonies and laws. But now they were facing difficulty. They were facing even death. Their fellow Jews, maybe even brothers and sisters in their same family who were still holding to the Jewish religion, maybe even their parents or their children, were coming to them who had left that Jewish formal religion and had followed Christ, and they were saying now to them, when they were being persecuted, when they were suffering, now, where is your high priest? We can go to the temple and we can bring our sacrifices and our God will hear us. The Jews understood very well as these new converts and believers of the Hebrews. They understood very well that we need one to go in between us and God, because we've sinned against God. We have defiled ourselves. We've polluted ourselves. We need the shedding of blood. The Old Testament Jew, he had the animal sacrifice he could take with him to the altar and to the temple, and he could have the high priest come and could be sacrificing this animal on his behalf. But the New Testament believer was approached with the question, where is your sacrifice? Where is your high priest? Where is one who is going to go in between for you? Maybe this is the question for some of us. Maybe you have struggles and concerns and spiritual cares also. Maybe there are those whom, even in your own family circle, who, when they see you turning to the Word of God, confessing to lay hold of Jesus Christ, depending upon Him, they say, what do you have? We have this and that and the next thing we hold to and all of our outward religion, but what do you have? Questions can formulate in the minds of believers even, and those who are new in grace. Where is your access to God? How do you think you can come so quickly to the Lord Jesus Christ to be forgiven of all your sin? Maybe you've left behind family members, friends, and they mock and ridicule you for following after Christ. And then there is not only the questions that come from those around us, but the believer can also experience in their own heart doubts and fears also. And in a week of preparation, sometimes those fears and doubts can grow and multiply, especially when we begin to examine ourselves and really ask the question, am I in the faith? Is there evidence? Is there fruit that can be seen that I am trusting in Jesus Christ, that He's changing me through His power and His blood and His grace? Are you at rest? That's where our author began. He's talking about having rest. He is saying, indeed, Israel was brought into the land to have rest, but Joshua could not give them rest. It's only until the greater Joshua has come that there has been rest given to the children of God. And that rest is found in Him. It's laid away. It's in store for the children of God. But it can be, our apostle is going to be telling us, understood and felt and lived in even now. Therefore, he says to the Hebrew Christians, don't be discouraged. You have far more than your Jewish brethren have in all their outward ceremonies. If you have Christ, you have rest. You have hope. You have a great high priest. And when faith is lively and strong, and we can, through the Scriptures and the Gospel, lay hold and appropriate Christ to ourselves, we rejoice. We see in Him there is the complete sacrifice that we stand in need of. But when faith is at low ebb, when our eyes are more on our circumstances and our own remaining corruption and sins that remain within us, it's sometimes hard to see that Jesus is ours, that He's paid the price and I stand free in His presence, and I have rest. Instead, I am laboring on. And therefore, the apostle will say to us tonight, hold fast your profession. Don't let go of what you have understood and come to know by the gospel and by the Holy Spirit teaching and leading you. These Hebrew believers were tempted to let go of this profession, this confession they had now made. And the apostle comes along and he says, don't do it. Let me come alongside of you for a few moments and set before you what your glorious privileges are and what great blessings are yours in Jesus Christ. Oh, the apostle who wrote to the Hebrews would certainly understand the struggles and doubts and fears that believers would encounter. And he says, though you be discouraged with yourselves, though you don't love the Lord as you desire and love the brethren as you're called to do, though you're perhaps not able to overcome daily sin and transgression, don't let go of your profession. In other words, don't let go of Christ. He is the only one who made a good confession before Pilate. He is the one who continued to intercede when the disciples were sleeping. He is the one who stood before Caiaphas and spoke truth when Peter, his disciple, is denying his Lord. Hold fast your profession. And whatever you are called to surrender, whether it's your family, your relationships, your possessions, even your life, don't let go of Christ. Because He is the reason you can hold fast. And what rich encouragement then the apostle is giving here to these Jewish believers. In spite of your discouragements, in spite of all your circumstances of persecutions without, doubts and fears within, hold fast your profession. Why? How? Seeing then, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Dear believer, you have a far better and greater high priest than those who continue to bring their sacrifices and their good works in their ceremonial religion. You have a priest who is not only the priest, He is the sacrifice. He is the altar. He is the priest who comes into the very presence of God with His own blood. And He opens the way of access unto the very throne of God Himself. He is the perfect, the blameless, the undefiled Lamb of God. Jesus Himself is the sacrifice. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin that we, who had no righteousness, can become the righteousness of God in this high priest. He gave Himself for rebels, for those who are hell worthy. Those who thought to find their life and rest in their own works, in their own religion, in their own prayers, in their own tears. And we need to lose it all to find in Him all that we need. You and I were once priests to God. In the garden of paradise in Adam, our Father, we fulfilled the offices that God laid upon us perfectly. We offered worship and praise to God as a priest. But now instead of a priest to this God, the only true Creator, we have sold our birthright and have become priests of another God. And we worship and serve Him, Prince of lies. And therefore, if we have been turned and been purchased and have come to faith in Jesus Christ, He is now our priest. And He is not only a priest. The author to the Hebrews says He is our high priest. And perhaps you know that when the priests all had their order and one of them alone would be chosen to enter into the Holy of Holies, He would take fire from off of the altar and He would bring it in to the Holy of Holies once a year. And placing that fire on the altar of incense, it was a symbolical representation of the prayers of the high priest ascending unto God in behalf of those for whom he prayed. It pointed to the children of Israel, not only the need they had to be reconciled to God because they were at a distance from Him for their sin, but through the intercessions of the high priest, they were brought again into communion and fellowship with God. And now, what the author to the Hebrews is saying to these Jewish believers, what those who figured they had this reconciliation on earth, you have far greater and superior in Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of all these patterns and these types. They went into an earthly tabernacle, a holy of holies. Your high priest has ascended into heaven. We saw him with our own eyes. He entered into glory with his pierced hands and feet. And he is there making intercession, and he will bless. When the priest came out, he would hold up his hands of blessing upon the congregation. And by it they would know, God blesses you. But what far greater blessing is found when we see Jesus there on the Mount in Galilee? He is lifted up off of the earth, and he has hands outstretched upon his disciples, his church, even till this day with blessing. And he remains to this hour in the heavenly places, blessing his church. He is the high priest. Oh, but then, not only a priest and a high priest, but the author says, seeing then we have a great high priest. The only high priest. Hebrews 10, we read, By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Jewish believer in Jesus Christ, Church of God in the New Testament, you have far superior over those who continue every year to go again to an outward form of religion to find their life. You have in Jesus Christ one who once for all has made atonement. He is the great high priest. Every year the priests have to go back in the Jewish religion, because there's never enough. Never atonement that satisfies. But this great high priest, having once for all time satisfied the wrath of God completely, now has ascended and is at his Father's right hand. Hold fast to him. He has held fast to the end. And he calls you to do the same. Just as he has said, John the Apostle has said of him, we love him because he first loved us. So we can say in relation to the apostles' command, let us hold fast our profession. We do so because he holds fast to us. What a great comfort it is for the church that in the face of all their questions, fears, and persecutions and suffering, he holds them fast. They shall never slip between his fingers. They are engraven on the palms of his hand. He has been obedient unto death, and now he calls his bride, his church, to do the same. Are you ready to walk the path our Lord has walked? That's what he calls us to. Take up your cross and follow me. Hold fast. You and I cannot walk that path he lays before us. And that path that he lays before us is to change us and transform us into the likeness of his Son. And you and I will not be able to walk that path unless and until we hold fast to him. And when we hold fast to him, it is only because we know he is holding fast to us. We have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And he has appeared into the presence of God himself for us. He who is the Son of God. Hebrews 9. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which is the figure of the true, but he's entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. We could say in a sense, this is the culmination of all the work of Jesus Christ. He is now at his Father's right hand, and he is interceding until the moment every last one of his bride is brought in. And then he will return to take them to glory. He is at the right hand of God. Stephen, children, you would no doubt remember, as he is being stoned, as he's walking this path of being conformed to the image of his master and husband, he looks up and he sees heaven. And there is his husband, the great high priest, who is blessing, who is praying, who is standing at the Father's right hand. He is not only the sacrifice, which means he can save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, but he is also the one who is able to help us in all our need. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. When we consider our trials and our tribulations and afflictions and temptations, we must consider the great high priest has entered into them himself. And he who is none other than not only man in our likeness, but in the likeness and of the very essence of God. Jesus, the Son of God. This is the only mediator that is able to help us, to help you, to help me in all our need. And it's in this very human nature that he has suffered, that he has died. And his Godhead has given to him an eternal value to this sacrifice which he has made. Is he your high priest? Is he your advocate even now at the Father's right hand? To whom do you turn when you come in prayer and you feel the weight of your sin? As you consider the Lord's Supper in the week to come, where do you go for help in time of need? It's not enough to speak about some experience and some perhaps heartwarming or even convicting prayer. But are you holding fast Christ, your profession? Or will you in the week Sabbath to come deny this profession? That he's not suitable enough, that he's not lowly enough, that he's not willing enough, that he's not enough. When in essence, he is all and in all. He is everything you need. And if you have not come to this great high priest, even till this day, I say to you tonight, you are most welcome. The word goes out to all who hear this word. It is his occupation, his work as the great high priest to receive all who come. When you would be a Jewish ceremonial practicer of the law, you, being guilty, would take with you a sacrifice and bring it to the priest and confess your sin. He would not ask you, do you think you're sorry enough? Do you think you shouldn't confess some more? Don't you think this? Don't you think that? He would receive your sacrifice and offer it upon the altar and proclaim your sins are forgiven. What do you think you do when you come to Jesus Christ as you are, a sinner, lost and condemned? Will he turn such a way? Will he not intercede even for the greatest of transgressors? Why then do you go halting through your life as if he would not receive you when you come? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, hold fast your profession, for we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmities that we experience. He's been through those feelings himself. And we can come day and night and every hour, again and again, to this great high priest, and he will receive us. Have you made confession and profession of this great high priest? The apostle had said in chapter 3, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. It's not because of your faithfulness, your clinging to him or mine, but he clings to us. He has come and sought us out, and he found us where we were, and he lifted us out of the depths of sin and the dregs of death, and gave us life and liberty and pardon of sin. Is this the one you need? Who has found you and holds you to continue to do so, and you cling to him. A young boy was crossing the road and he was holding his father's hand, and as they were walking and there was some traffic coming, and he sort of tripped and stumbled and grabbed his father's hand and got to the other side. When he got to the other side, he said, I hanged on, Daddy. The reality was, his father had a grip on his son that could not be broken. And so the believer is called here through the apostle, hold fast your profession. The great high priest is holding you firm. Seeing then, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And through him, you can endure persecution. You can endure suffering. He will shape and mold you on the path he leads you in life to be made like himself, to present to his Father in the coming day a glorious bride without spot and without wrinkle. Washed and cleansed in his blood. But not only is this great high priest ascended into heaven, whereby we may hold fast our profession, but this great high priest has ascended into heaven and he sits at his Father's right hand so that we may come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's our second thought this evening. The apostle now expands upon the reality that Jesus has entered into heaven as the great high priest. And he gives encouragement to these Hebrews. that not only ought they hold fast to Him, but they may with boldness enter into the very throne room of the only true God. Because there is the sympathetic, compassionate high priest. He tells us the character of the priest who sits on the throne. One who has been in the flesh. One who has been tempted and touched with the feelings of our infirmities as we are, yet without sin. You know, the earthly high priest who is receiving these sacrifices could at some point in time, and there were many high priests who no doubt were in their hearts, proud. Oh, here comes one who committed adultery. At least I never did that. Here is one who is, and you name the sin, and the high priest could say, well, I never did that. But here is one. No, he is without sin, indeed. But he has borne sin. He has drank the cup of God's wrath himself to the last dreg. He has faced all temptation of all manner, as all his children face. And He is therefore able to help in all our need. What a great comfort to the Hebrew believer, to us. Far superior than one to whom you might bring a sacrifice on earth. We may go directly to the great high priest boldly, confessing our sin, knowing He will not turn us away, but pronounce forgiveness in His own blood. And when we have temptation, and when we have trouble and trial, and we flee to Him, it's not a grace, a throne of judgment, but a gracious throne of mercy. Jesus doesn't simply know about our infirmities by reading them in a book, or even standing in heaven knowing about them. He knows them. You remember, no doubt, when Paul is met with this great high priest on the Damascus road, and he's persecuting the church of God, and Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You see, when the church, when the believer suffers, he suffers. He has gone through infirmities and weaknesses like as we are. He is one who can be touched and therefore knows most perfectly what we stand in need of. He has been tempted. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. We will believe thee. If you truly be a believer, then He has been tempted like us in all points. And when we are tempted, sometimes we fall. We fail. He never did. His holiness is impeccable and pure. He has never faltered and stumbled. He is the elder brother, the great head of His church. And they are brought into glory because of Him. If you are heavy laden and laboring, if you need pardon and rest, if you feel the weight and burden of your sin, there is only one place for you to go. To find rest and pardon. It's not to a throne of judgment where you will be cast away, but to a throne of mercy and grace. And you may come this night and go to Him with all your cares and all your sin, confessing and forsaking it and believing in Him, you shall find mercy. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. We who believe enter into rest. It's going to Him believing He is a great high priest ascended into heaven who is able and willing to forgive even what we have done when we come. And you will have rest. Does He understand your hesitancy to come? Yes. But don't delay. Today, when you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Is He able to sympathize with you, with your stumblings and your falterings and your turning aside and your not standing for His name as you perhaps wished you would and could? Does He understand when you are tempted how that you could stumble and fall? Indeed, He does. He is a great high priest who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But He did not sin. And therefore He has opened in the heavens a throne of mercy and grace. What do we read in chapter 5? For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way, for that He Himself also is compassed with infirmity. This great high priest has no infirmities now. He had taken on Him all our weakness and our frailty and infirmities, but now He is exalted at His Father's right hand, and He ever lives to make intercession for transgressors. He was tempted in all points like as we are. So hold fast. So come boldly to the throne of grace. The writer to the Hebrews is not exhorting us to try to purify ourselves, try to make ourselves better and then come. He's saying, come boldly to the throne of grace. That's not presumption. That's faith, humility, trust, and godly fear and reverence. Because who will come but the one who believes? There is mercy. There's grace, even for such as we are. Why do you tarry then so long? When we think of Naaman, he's told something simple. Go wash yourselves 7 times. You will be clean. He was angry. Aren't the rivers in my home better than this? Until he was persuaded by his servants. If the man of God had told thee some great thing to do, would you not have done it? The apostle to the Hebrews says you can bring thousands of rams and offerings and bring them to the high priest on this earth and do all kinds of works and things you will do to make you favorable with God, but you neglect the simple gospel truth. Christ Jesus, the great high priest, is in heaven and receiving sinners till this day. The author to the Hebrews is showing to each of us the way back to God. The great high priest, Jesus Christ. And coming in His name, you have nothing to fear. He is made known and revealed and uncovered to us in the gospel. That we who are guilty and worthy of condemnation may come in His name to this throne because He has opened it. He has made it known to us. It is a throne of mercy and of grace. And He calls, He commands you, let us therefore come boldly. If you come in your own name, you have right to be afraid. If you come fearing that you would be received and don't believe that He would forgive you, you hide around the corner and stay away. But this is the word of reconciliation, the gospel. He has come. He has paid the price. It is a throne of grace and mercy. And you are to come. Boldly in His name. This isn't something new. Paul said in Ephesians 3, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Hebrews 10, he will repeat the same, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. John, he says, 1 John 4, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Sinner, you have no reason to be afraid. When you will come before the throne of God in His name, Satan will have you to stay away. He will feed your fears and give you no rest. But the gospel calls you to come as a poor, unworthy, condemned sinner. As you are, believing the ascended, glorious, great high priest receives sinners. He is the elder brother, the head, the husband, who wants us to come before Him freely to pour out our need and His care. Can you imagine a husband who owns all, who is able to heal all, who is able to do all, and the wife to whom he is married doesn't believe his words of love and kindness, of calling, come to me at any time. I will help you. I have been where you were, in your infirmities, your weakness. It is He who is on the throne. And we come as we are, as poor and needy sinners. And we need not be concerned about our continual coming. Because the author to the Hebrews writes in such a way in the Greek, he's saying, and keep on coming. Let us therefore keep on coming boldly to the throne of grace, to find mercy in time of need. That's why we come. We need grace. We need mercy. We need forgiveness of sin. We need justification. We need sanctifying grace. We need upholding and strength against temptation. We need Him to lead us and to guide us. We need Him to enlighten our minds and our understanding. We need grace to live our lives before those who would come against us. We need Him. And He's on the throne. And we need mercy and forgiveness because we have made ourselves guilty and miserable. And the very fact that tonight we hear It is a throne of grace and mercy, means the doors of the kingdom of heaven to this throne have not gone shut. When it happens, it will become a throne of judgment to all who are outside. This world is not finished with Jesus Christ. One day He's coming to return. As you have seen Him go, as you have heard of Him in this evening, as the one who sits on the throne of mercy and grace at His Father's right hand, He's coming. He's coming again. And every eye shall see Him, and every knee shall bow before Him, and every tongue is going to confess, He is Lord, King of kings. And if you have not come to know Him, dear friend, as this compassionate, likened in infirmities and tempted as you are, great high priest, He only then will be your judge. I close with Hebrews 10. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach. Amen. Let's pray. Glorious and great High Priest, send it into heaven, into glory. Whoever lives to make intercession, and who even now receives sinners who come in Thy name. Lord, we come in Thy name to a throne of grace and mercy, and pray that Thou would bless us indeed. Thou would pour out Thy Spirit upon us, granting us to be washed and cleansed in Thy blood, and to have pure consciences, that we may live in the light of these truths, and so be stirred to live lives of thankful worship of Thee. Forgive graciously, Lord, our many sin. May we not depart from Thee, as there were perhaps some who at the time of this letter departed back to their old religion. O Lord, we pray that we would not forsake and apostatize and turn from Thee, but rather be drawn unto this great High Priest, who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet without sin, and who receives sinners and washes them in His blood. Go before us, we pray, in the rest of this week, and bring us together on Thy day. Hear our prayer. Remember those also who travel. Grant Thy mercies and bring them to their destinations and home again in due time. Go before us, we pray, in the coming week also, when many will come for the Heritage Spring Retreat, and bless our time together there as well. Lord, remember us. For Jesus' sake, amen. We sing in closing 420, stanzas 2 and 5. But let the righteous blessed of yore joy in their God as ne'er before. 422 and 5. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.